99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. Good morning to you, and thank you for joining us again on the second part of Dailies today. And we're here, we're ready. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
We have the papers here. You can watch us on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch us on those two platforms. Let's start. Let's start with Vanguard newspaper, page 5. Petrol tops 500 naira per litre as subsidy removal takes effect.
Okay, thank you very much,
sir. Sure.
You know that, and this is my view, some might like it, some might not, but I'm just going to give my views this morning. We have a Nigerian problem of always trying to, I don't want to use the word impress, I'm looking for a more decent word in this circumstance, without going over the facts of what we want to do. Let me give you an example. Somebody is not too well, you haven't had enough money to treat that person. The person dies and you now start running around looking for money for a befitting burial because you must kill a cow, you must buy an expensive coffin, and so on and so forth. It's not an APC problem, it's not a Tinubu problem, it's not a civil service problem, it is a Nigerian problem. Why do I say so? The rush with which we do things, again, most of us Nigerians are like that. We want to get to the destination before we ever got started. The question I want to ask is, would we have lost anything at all if the president had resumed on Monday, made one or two or three key appointments by Wednesday, sat back with all the relevant bodies, and now have what we would call a graded subsidy removal? Because the things, I think the president has said he wants to hit the ground running and he wants to prove that. But we must remember that we are dealing with the lives of human beings. At the end of the day, they look like figures, 50,000 people, but each one of them is a human being. This one that we have done in this manner, it will take almost forever for us to recover. The first time I saw this was when Babangida resumed. The currency was about 4-1 then to $1, and overnight, he just made an announcement that the naira had been completely devalued. I don't think things, and then of course it went, and we never recovered from it till as we speak. Mm. I don't think that is the proper way to do things. I think that I would have appreciated if the president had did. You see, when you do studies outside government, it's different from when you are in charge and you can now be given real figures, real scenarios. Okay? And I hope that our leaders will stop putting politics above the lives and well-being of our citizens. A lot of our citizens now have been thrown into complete disarray, in the midst of confusion. Let me say very clearly, there is no doubt that the subsidy had to go. But I want to be convinced that if we tarried a while to do things in a gradual manner, I'm not talking of even just gradual removal, but all the stakeholders and everything with the purpose that it is going, we wouldn't have achieved what we wanted. It's sad. I sat back to look at these things. I told Sheriff something in secret this morning, and the man is still laughing at me. You know, I felt so stupid about one or two things. This is not a way countries grow. It takes a lot. This is going to take a long time because the ripple effects are imaginable. A lot of people think that it's just the elite who want to fill their cars. It's not just that. People will start losing their jobs by the end of this month from the ripple effect of this. A lot of people are going to lose their jobs. Those who are educated, and maybe you now have more people working from home, fair enough. But how much are you going to pay your clerk, your messenger, your whatever now, that will cover the cost of transport? I just got a text this morning that from Lekki to Ibrahim Adesanya by taxi was 19,000. This morning. I just got it now. And so that is one. The other thing is that I can see the same scenario playing out. You rush and declare something. NLC says no. You go into meetings. You go in. There's a deadlock. At the end of the day, you'll end up with plus or minus 10, 15 naira. And then life goes on. More people go off the employment line. Traders, traders, most of their goods can't be sold because the prices are too high, and so on and so forth. I think it's sad. We haven't even thought of what we can do to absorb the shock. Somebody is coming up with something about palliatives and so on and so forth. We know the way these so-called palliatives go. We know what, even when Nigeria was facing the biggest crisis of COVID, we know what happened to palliatives. We know what happened to palliatives. I would have, honestly, I want an economist to come and tell me if we couldn't do a graduated removal, you know, and in the meantime, you can provide better alternatives for people. But in one fell swoop, just like that, bang, and now we have a crisis on our hands. Like Sheriff said to me this morning, he's happy that the queues have disappeared. The queues have disappeared because 3/4 of those who probably wanted to buy fuel don't even have that money to go, so they've gone back home. So what do you have? If you are going to be charging, for example, 19,000 from Lekki to Ibrahim Adesanya, in another week there'll be no passenger to get into your car. And guess what? At least for the elite, I have something to tell you. This fuel you are going to be buying at 500, which is 50,000 to fill the tanks of some people who have large cars, you will end up burning half of it in traffic. So it's a spiral. To the main story here, it says that depots would sell at 470 per liter. NNPC say the initial NNPC release didn't even state any amount. It just said the price had been adjusted. It didn't say whether the prices have been adjusted to market forces. It left you to figure that out. But anyway, we say it's now between, I think, 490 and about 510, you said this morning.
Right.
That we have. NNPC have adjusted the prices. So meanwhile, the meeting is going on between NNPC and the government, and between Labour and government. I don't expect much to come out of it. I've seen these meetings happen over and over and over and over again. So from the look of things, you'd be lucky, you'd be very lucky if it ever comes down to something like 400. So you better brace up for that. The other thing, of course, to brace up, you know, unemployment is going to be difficult, you know. If I have a domestic staff, for example, so how much am I going to pay my domestic staff unless I'm ready to accommodate him in my house? How much am I going to pay him? My own income hasn't gone up, so what's going to happen? At the lower end, there'll be so much unemployment, it will be unbelievable. But let's see as we go along. I still plead with Nigeria that, you know, we do things in a gradual and methodical manner that carries everybody along so that you can see. The Nigerian people are not, what do you call these things, on the draft board that you can move around. We are talking of human beings. We are talking of human lives. And some people get political about it. I see people phoning in for contributions. They get political about it. And let's rally around. Let's do this. Let's do that. But you're talking of human lives that are affected. For God's sake, let us have empathy. Those of us who are in privileged positions, let us have empathy for those who don't have. They're not minions. They're not this thing on the draft board that you just move around. And because some people have the opportunity, of being speaking in public, you talk as if human beings don't matter. Human beings in any government should matter first. And I think we need to place a premium on that. Look at what a bishop here says. Bishop Chukwu Nenye says that says that hardship has sadly become the middle name of Nigerians. Fuel mask marketers have no justifiable reasons to do what they are doing to citizens. He doesn't understand. Fuel marketers are business people. We said that yesterday, so I don't want to repeat that. And he says that we've never been told all the truth we need to know about fuel subsidy. If we were, we wouldn't have been experiencing the current problems. The truth is this. The same people that benefited from these fuel subsidies will probably be waiting for you in the industry of palliatives. Let's move to the next.
Yeah, really nothing different from the first headline. It's just that this is an editorial. Subsidy, avoidable, expensive blunder.
Yes, this is what the Vanguard believes. So they give a bit of a history. And it says that Buhari, Tinubu and APC have not shown enough empathy with the people with regard to the place of petrol and gas in their lives. Due to poor power supply and lack of adequate rail and water transport alternatives, the average Nigerian depends on petrol and gas for commutation and power supply. These petroleum products are the last resort for livelihoods and must be handled with utmost care by well-meaning governments. And let me just rush to leave some of this analysis and rush to the last paragraph, which says that we expect the new government to learn from this. It must carefully think through any issue concerning the welfare of the people before going public with its decisions. I also want to add that you must carry them along in the process so that they have a clear understanding. You know, you must carry, and like I said, we are talking of human lives here. I am not against subsidy. In fact, I am for it 100%. I'm not against it. What I want is that it must have a human touch. You must respect the feelings of the people. You know, you must respect their feelings and carry them along. Like I said, I don't think we would have lost anything if we did this thing in a more methodical manner. Okay? And so they say that Tinubu has promised to govern through consultations and consensus. That sounds great. He should match his words with actions. That is democracy. It will win him many friends and supporters if he keeps his words. Before the first subsidy is fully implemented, government stakeholders and the public must be on the same page. The needful must be done, but the subsidy must go. I agree completely with that. The subsidy must go, but we must think, especially those at the lower rung, we must think of their lives. It's very, very important. Mm.
Let's go take this story here from the Vanguard, page 9. It reads, Tinubu meets with EFCC chairman Bauer in Aso Rock.
Nobody knows why Tinubu met the EFCC chairman and is not even bound to explain to anybody. Neither would the EFCC chairman be telling you why they met. Some of the reasons that people have given, I don't believe so. It says here that the meeting came barely, this is from the Vanguard, 24 hours after he directed the DSS to vacate Ikoyi office, and that Bauer arrived at the villa at a few minutes past 2 and was ushered into the president's office complex. It says, although the purpose of the meeting was not made public, Vanguard learned it was in connection with the reported disagreement between the EFCC and DSS. I don't think that the president, after laying down the whatever, I don't think he would be intervening directly. And if he was going to call, if we heard that he called the EFCC and the DSS guy, maybe. So I think we should stop speculating. The DSS guy is an operative of government. His boss has the right to summon him at any given time. And I don't think we should waste so much energy on why he was summoned. But I honestly don't think it was because of the DSS EFCC face-off. Okay? I don't think it was because of the EFCC face-off. There must be some other administrative reasons why he was called.
Talking about speculation, so someone called the show, I think it was Sandra's show, Hard Facts, yesterday, and the person was worried as to why the president hasn't named some key appointments yet, at least those that would be working with him very closely. He felt that it could be a not too good a sign.
No.
He's saying that it's late.
No, even though he would have his people, He cannot, for example, send them for clearance. He cannot send them for clearance. You know, before you make public appointments, they need to be cleared. There are some processes that need to be taken care of, which he couldn't have done unless he was president. So I'm not too worried about that. What I'm worried about is jumping the gun in carrying out the functions of such people that would have made life easier for him. Do you understand what I'm saying? But before you make an appointment, I mean, I would expect that some things will go for EFCC clearance, DSS clearance, and this clearance and that clearance, and so on and so forth. So I'm not worried about that. But what worries me is this urge of the president, because he said, I'm going to hit the ground running, and therefore wants to do things in a bit of a rush. Well, there you are. You'll be damned if you do, you'll be damned if you don't. We said, what was his name? I've forgotten his name. Now, Buhari was damn too slow. This man wants to hit the ground running, but we need to tell him to tarry a while. Because most importantly, Sheriff, the lives of human beings are involved. The life of one Nigerian, whether he is a beggar or is a multi-billionaire, is equally important. And so we must be careful that in the things that we do, we don't ram certain groups of people to the ground. So I think that we need to give him time, at least a week, you know, to get all the necessary clearance. But he has his personal staff with him, though they don't have any
official position.
Position. But now we know that Gbaja is with him. We know that Dele Alake is with him. At least those two.
We know Adams is with him.
We don't know whether Adams was at the meeting yesterday.
He was.
We don't know if he was at the meeting because it was a labor-related issue.
Most likely, yes.
Most likely, yes.
Most definitely.
So it might not necessarily mean that Adams will get a position.
It might not necessarily mean,
in this sense.
Yes, you're right. Let's take another story from the Guardian newspaper, page 13. It reads, Adegoke, receptionist bags 2 years in jail for doctoring deceased receipts.
So it's no news that this gentleman has been found guilty for murder. And so that's not the thrust of the story that we want to highlight this morning. What I want to highlight is for us workers and for people generally, to have discretion in the things that you do. And even when your boss gives you an instruction, you should be ready to walk away if you feel that it is not right. Look at this young lady. She was a receptionist in the hotel. Okay? So the owner of the hotel, who at that time was under suspicion, must have just called her to say that, look, come, go and adjust this name in the register. Okay, so that should have blown a whistle in your mind that why would I do it? She later turned prosecution witness, though. She later did. Let us always put on our thinking caps. When you are given an instruction, or indeed if you want to react publicly, or indeed if you want to take any decision, always sit back for a minute to think it through. And you must protect yourself. You can't, as an excuse, say in the court of law that it was my God that told me to do it. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable.
You are responsible for your actions.
So some people who your aga will tell you go and beat up somebody, if that person dies, verily, verily, I say unto you, if that person dies, you're going to face a charge of murder. And the fact that your aga told you to do it, even in the military, if you feel that the order that you've been given is not quite legal, you have the right to reject it. So, I'm sorry, sir. I cannot.
Can the military people do that?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can. If a general, for example, is fighting with his wife, and in a fit of anger, he calls his ADC and said, shoot this man and woman and get out of here. He can't do that. He is allowed to use his discretion. When they say obey the last order, it doesn't mean you should do something stupid. So I want to highlight this for us to know, especially all these minions following, at the end of the day, we will go back to what I usually say, Otulo manji yarari. So please, let's have this. That's the only reason why I'm bringing up this story. And the good news I have for you is that from what I am reading, and notice I use my words carefully, I didn't say from what I heard, I said from what I'm reading, the judge was going to sentence this lady. Mm. But when she heard the allocutors, you know, the pleadings of the circumstances of her case, she postponed it, I think, to the next day, and then gave her a lighter sentence of 2 years. Mm. And this is what the judge said. The judge said that, I have carefully considered the passionate pleas of the counsel in his allocutors. I have observed the sober dominion of the convict throughout the trial. I am equally mindful of the circumstances leading to her culpability. Now, you should know that it's not all judges that would have behaved in this manner. Some judges, because we're all human beings, out of anger could have slapped her, could have slapped her, but she's very lucky. And she says, Section 411 of the law will take its course. I hereby sentence you, Adedeji Adeshola, to 2 years imprisonment, counting from the first day of your detention. Mm. So she is most likely going to go home free if she's not home by now. Mm. And I think that is why she is praising God on her knees. Mubeyo. So let's all learn. If you are a cook, for example, and somebody just says, put this thing in Oga's food, it was good vitamin for him, it will let him bounce well. Don't do it,
That's another one.
We need to be careful. You know, in these things that we do, we need to educate ourselves. We need to be very, very careful.
Yeah, let's go to this sports page. We don't usually do this, but let's do this for today.
Why? I know about sports.
Yeah.
Yes, I know about sports.
Should I throw you under the bus?
Yeah, were you the only one? Were you the only one who played football? Who played? After all, I played two goalkeepers. I won.
Okay, so NFF admits failing to pay coaches for several months.
It's part of what I'm talking about, the Nigerian problem. This is a national disgrace. So every time you have a coach, it's always about not being remunerated on time.
It always comes up. Always.
So if you can't employ, if you can't pay a foreign coach, why employ one? It's not as if a foreign coach is a guarantee that they are going to win the match.
No,
if you can't even employ, if you can't go in certain competitions, stay out of it. I don't think India has ever been in the World Cup. I need to be corrected on that. I don't remember them.
I can't remember it.
You can choose what you can afford rather than this disgrace. It says that some of the missing salary payments date back over a year. And those affected include Jose Peserio, head coach of the men's junior side, and Ladan Boso, who is currently leading the male under-20 team at the World Cup. You know, Boso has only received 3 months' salary in the past 15 months. That is disgraceful. And some people must be held responsible for leading us to this disgraceful situation in the eyes of the world. In some countries, and some Nigerian investors tried it, I think in South Africa and the UK, and they got kicked out. If you can't pay salaries at the end of the month, you shut down. It means you can't, either you're not ready to do business or you can't afford to, you don't have the means to do it. This is honestly very, very disgraceful. And of course, you will hear that the NFF has been facing challenges and so on and so forth, and therefore might not have the funds. They are going cap in hand to sponsors to please try and pay the coaches. But then the stories that come out from some of these bodies sometimes are not too pleasant to the ear. But we will leave that for now. I think we need to focus more on this one that affects us directly. Because very soon, I'm going to buy a pair of sneakers. I'll be walking to work and back.
That would be so nice.
I need to get my body
That would
fit.
Really be nice.
Okamagun keke.
Keke abi.
It would be nice for us to invite somebody who would give us a very good analysis. You need somebody with an economic background, which I don't have, of how we can, in a graded manner, take out this subsidy rather than it being from just one announcement on radio and it throws our lives into turmoil. It would be nice if you could bring somebody like that. I would think of somebody who is dispassionate and is not looking at the political situation, but is looking at all of us like human beings.
I'm doing it next week. I have this gentleman from PwC, Taiwo.
Taiwo.
Yeah, he'll be on the show.
Well, I hope he'll be, because again, for some people speaking in public, they're afraid of the backlash. Maybe this supporter.
No, we need somebody
who will come and tell us the truth. We can't continue to do things
like this. What if the truth is subsidy had to go last year or
even if it had to go 7 years ago, I still believe that with that knowledge, we should still plan. I'm not saying don't remove the subsidy. That's not what I'm saying. Mm. What I'm saying is you should plan, get people ready and carry them along and look objectively at how you can handle the ripple effect. Mm. That's legitimate.
Yes,
of course, the subsidy must go.
Yes, it is.
The subsidy must go. There's no doubt about that. No country. But you need to say, how do we now? And what you need is a realistic thing, not one that you will say you want to give palliatives to.
Exactly.
Whatever.
So what do you think can be very realistic right now?
Some of the things that...
I've looked at the options on the table, and look, it's all looking like some people are just trying to cash out. Everybody that's putting options on the table.
Any which way you go, there are a group of Nigerians who will always cash out. So we will give them that allowance. Eichobaku. Let us see.
That's the thing. There's usually nothing left on the table. Nigerians cash out, they cash everything out.
No, there are some that at least there'll be some palliatives for our people, because this is the way you look at it. If you say, for example, you want to improve your public transportation system.
Mm.
If I was in England and petrol hit the roof, I know that I can always take the bus, I can take the train.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we can't do train and buses overnight. But, hey, there must be some things that we can do. There must be. You know, if we put our minds, I can't say it off the top of my head, but there must, because otherwise, we might as well just pack up the country and go. Do you know, Sheriff, how many families are going to be affected over the next 2 weeks? And I'm not talking car owners.
Hmm.
I'm not talking car owners. The first target...
We have to go.
Why did you not stop me?
I'm sorry. We just have to go. I just remember, I'm enjoying this thing too much.
Yeah,
let me check time. But you'll be back at night, right?
Yes.
Lagos, that's our show. Good morning to you. Yeah.
I want to assume that you would run, because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.